Happy holidays. May the force be with you. We're here on episode 10 of the Bob Culture Podcast, special Rogue One Star Wars edition. I'm joined by my good buddy and 501st member, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Chris Francis. Chris, welcome. Thanks for coming on, bro.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Yes. Here he is. All right. Well, Chris, first of all, congratulations on your, 100th event with the 501st. I saw a certificate.
Yes, 4 years.
Good job, man. That's great.
Thank you.
Now tell us about the 501st. Now I know what you guys do, but tell everyone, what do you guys do? You dress up like Star Wars characters or villains.
Yeah, well, the 501st Legion is an international costuming charity organization that we, build and, and dress in, screen accurate Star Wars costumes and do charity events and, events throughout the world.
That's great. And you, I know you're Vader, which is the big one. You have the TIE fighter pilot, and then the Emperor's Guard.
Right, well, it could be the Imperial Guard. It's the Emperor's Guard. Royal Guard.
That's awesome. And all the costumes are to spec, right? Very specific.
Yes. Everything's built to be screen accurate, to look like you come right off the screen.
That's awesome. And it does, man. It's really cool. Talk about the charity work you guys do. What kind of events do you guys do?
We do all kinds of events. We go to libraries. They have events for the kids. We do the charity walks. That you see. Usually in the spring and the fall. We've done some hospital visits. You go and they bring some of the kids in.
That's great. That's awesome, man. And. It's not like you guys are raising money for yourselves. All this money's going to charity. You guys are,
Yeah, any money that we raise personally, usually at cons, you'll see a blasted trooper or we collect donations.
Oh, I've never done that. That sounds awesome.
Yes. They're fun. You get to stand there and dance and let the kids shoot you.
Oh, so you have been shot at as a trooper. That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. That's pretty cool. Well, let me know because I'm going to blast you. And also some cool things you guys have done. I know we were just at the Devil's Game. It was Star Wars night. It was awesome. We saw Kylo Ren. We saw Bounty Hunters. We saw Boba Fett. We saw some of the good guys, the Rebels. I saw a Jedi Wookiee, and everything was awesome, and everyone was just great. The Bounty Hunters, interacted with me. I'm like, pretend like he captured me, and everyone was great and cool, and, R2 was there. I think I had more fun just taking pictures before the game,
Yeah.
It was a ball. You guys do some awesome stuff. And then, something I was talking to you about, a couple of weeks ago, you got to go on stage with Weird Al, who supports the 501st. Man, that had to be awesome.
Yeah, that was a blast. And, I've loved Weird Al since I was a kid, watching the old, MTV videos of, Eat It and all that stuff.
And
he was just the nicest guy, and it was just fantastic. It was just a fun experience.
That's awesome. That's cool. And you got to meet him, and you got to be his guard instead of the Imperial Guard. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, after the show, we did the bit on stage, and then he has us after, just kind of behind him, while he's doing autographs and stuff for people. So it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome, man. That's another once in a lifetime, man. You guys do some cool stuff, man. That's awesome. And then something I always like to ask you, but just for everybody. Since you're Vader, that's the big one. Do you ever have any funny stories or kids trying to battle you or telling you, you're a bad guy or any of that kind of stuff?
Most people, everybody loves Vader. You get a lot more people that are kind of scared of, Vader. Little kids can be scared of him.
It's intimidating.
There's a lot of respect around Vader, but, the only one thing you got to watch out for is people want to push the buttons.
Oh, really? On the chest. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's and we were hanging out with you a while ago, and I was like, I got to see the Vader mask, and you pulled it out, and you showed us the pieces, and I'm not gonna lie, it was cool. It was like really like magical, if you will, man. I'm like, oh, that's like that's the helmet, man. Like that's Vader, man. So good for you, man. That's awesome. And you guys got any upcoming events, or you got something coming up 2017 or anything?
Yeah, I mean, there's already a ton of events and throughout the year. I mean, this past year, 2016, I mean, we did like about 180 events.
Oh my gosh.
So good for you, man. We're looking to probably do the same about the same next year.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. Well, that's a great cause. Is there anywhere we can find 501st online? Is there like a website or somewhere we could support them or anything like that? Or
well, the main website is 501st.com.
Mm-hmm.
And for the New Jersey chapter garrison is 501stner.com, which is stands for Northeast Remnant. Is the New Jersey chapter.
That's awesome. Well, check it out, people, because these guys are a lot of fun, and they always do it for a good cause. I'm like a little kid every time I see them, you know? Like, when Chris had the Vader mask, you know, I'm like, dude, I know Vader. You know, that's... You can't beat that. That's awesome.
Well, just, you know, the fun fact, you know, when I was coming on here, my first official event was requested by... You and your band.
That's right. Yes, of course.
The Move for Hunger in Asbury Park. Yeah. That was my first official 501st event in my Royal Guard.
That's awesome.
And I was scrambling throughout August to try to get it done so that I could do the event. You know.
And now look at you. You just had your 100th event, man. Good for you, man. That's awesome. All right. Well, support them, 501st.com. Check out an event. Go see these guys. It's a fun thing to do. You know, bring your kids. It's awesome. It's like going to Disney, you know? Like it's
and
awesome.
You know, and the kids make it all worth it to see the kids smiling and having a good time. That's what it's all about. It really makes it.
That's awesome. Very cool. All right. So let's get into Rogue One. You know, we all saw it. It's nice to have another Star Wars film. Finally, you know, we're all waiting for that Episode 8. Kate and myself, we loved Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have this new standalone Star Wars film. You get a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then there's no Skrull.
Right.
So what do you think about like going in this kind of a different direction?
I mean, yeah, I kind of knew ahead of time it wasn't going to be there. I don't know how I feel about it. It would be nice to be there, but you know, it doesn't bother me that much.
It's a standalone. It's not the main saga,
right.
I guess. And what did you think about the concept of doing a film like this where it's, again, not one of the main ones, but this one, you know, I keep saying is a little bit more plot-driven than character-driven, maybe a little bit, in my mind. But it really kind of provided a little bit more information going into A New Hope. What's going on with the Death Star, kind of patched up some plot holes, I would say, with A New Hope. What did you think about them making this film, and did you like this film?
No, I loved it. I love anything Star Wars. You know, I'm a big fan of having these little side project films, all these standalones. I just want to see more things that don't have to do with the characters that we've known. I want to see, you know, more fringe kind of movies. And, you know, it happens in the Star Wars universe, and there's a lot of stuff else going on besides just, you know, Luke and Leia and
right.
Han and Chewie. And,
get to know
and,
the whole yeah. the universe.
Right.
Awesome, man. And which, this is always fun to talk about. Which characters did you like? Which characters weren't your favorites? Which characters do you think they should spend some more time on? Who did you like?
I liked them all. I mean,
nice.
I do. I everything seemed to work and pretty gel to me. I thought it worked out pretty good. You know, it's tough in the single movie, like you're saying, to really develop the full characters, the other movies. You have three movies. You have all this, all the years of everybody
Definitely.
Getting to know these characters.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
But yeah, no, I liked them all. I mean, and I thought they did, you know, a good job with, you know, the droid making him, you know,
that's what I was gonna
ask. He had a good balance of, you know, funny and, you know, not too, you know.
The sarcastic C-3PO.
Yeah, right.
As we go on. Yeah, he was a cool character and a droid that fought as well.
Right.
We were talking about. Awesome. My favorite character, I'm going to say the name wrong, Shurit. Is that right? I don't know if I'm saying
it right. I guess
too,
yeah.
With
I'm not sure
he was
exactly.
blind and yeah. you know, he was one with the Force.
Right.
And the Force was with him. Baze, I thought was cool. Again, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. Was cool. He had like the automatic. He was taking
yeah,
out the storm.
I mean, that gun was badass.
Yeah, that. I mean, that was exciting. Really cool. And of course, man, I gotta ask you this. Vader. Vader, your guy. You got a little more Vader. You got a little more information. You got a huge Vader kind of attack scene.
Yeah.
What did you have? Do we like Vader in this film?
Yeah, I mean, I love Vader, and I thought they did him fantastic. I thought they could have done without the pun.
Oh, okay, so the pun was an interesting topic. We'll talk about some more, yes.
That, I mean, that end scene where he just lets loose is something that, you know, I think all Star Wars fans have been waiting to see, you know, just to see him just really just lay into people the way, you know, you knew the Sith Lord could. Why people were scared of him.
And also, yeah, and something I had noticed, he was holding the lightsaber kind of similar to the way he held it in A New Hope. You know, when he had fought with Obi-Wan Kenobi, it was, you know, kind of like a slower kind of lightsaber battle as compared to the prequels where they were doing all like the flips and the ninja moves. And this was kind of a good mix of both because he was you know, deflecting the bolts real fast and hold, was it his left hand? I keep thinking it's his left. I don't know if he's lefty or righty, but Darth Vader, when he's deflecting all the bolts and he's going real fast. I thought that when he's coming down the hallway at all the stormtroopers, that was a cool, like, a cool scene and a cool mix of kind of the old school New Hope Vader and then some of the lightsaber stuff you saw in the prequels, man. I mean, just the effects and all that.
Yeah, I thought, like, he wasn't too fast and too...
Exactly.
You know, extravagant with the way he was moving because, you know, in A New Hope, I mean, he is kind of... You know, at that point, he hasn't fought any Jedi in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't really had to. And, you know, for that scene, he's not fighting somebody with a lightsaber. He's just hacking and slashing at regular
point.
Guys.
Good. I didn't think of it that way. Know? That's a great point. Yeah, to these, like, rebel troops. How about these CGI characters? You know, I saw Grand Moff Tarkin, saw the back of his head, saw a little bit of his reflection in the window. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, they're kind of teasing at him. And then he turns around, and he's there. And then he's in two or three more scenes, and he's a significant character in this movie. And it's mind-blowing.
The first time I saw it Thursday night in a later show, and I don't know if I was tired, but, you know, my first reaction was, wow, they got a guy that looks just like him. Because I didn't know they had done that CGI. I was like, wow, they did. They got a guy that looks just like him. You know, and then I saw it again on Sunday after I had read about that. And, like, I could notice more about the CGI aspects of it. But I don't think it distracted, you know. I thought it was great. He looked fantastic.
And then Leia at the end?
I don't know if it was necessary.
Okay, to go to the point of seeing her.
Right. I think they could have gotten away with the guy going into the cabin and seeing her in the white.
Right.
And I don't think they needed to do that next step and actually show her face and do that. I mean, it was fine. It looked good, but...
It did look good. It was impressive just to make that happen. I mean, this technology.
Right.
But you think maybe it should have ended with just seeing the back of her or, like, Vader kind of going after that.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, her being in there was fine. I just don't think they, you know, the next step of, you know, showing her face and doing the CGI, I just didn't think was necessary, but, I mean, it didn't bother me. I just didn't think it was necessary.
And something I was really excited about, seeing those X-Wing pilots from A New Hope, I'm like, that was awesome. From A New Hope.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this CGI too? How did they do? You know, later I've gone on to read that they used footage from A New Hope, unused footage.
Right.
And I love the X-Wing guys. I'm all about...
Yeah, I'm a fan of the X-Wings and all squadrons.
Seeing some of those characters, I mean, amazing.
Yeah, all those little touches that they did are what really made that movie, like, fantastic. You know, they really paid attention to the detail for the fans. And, I mean, I thought it was great.
Talking about the continuity, this film, you could tell they did a lot of research, and we know they did a lot of reshoots just to get everything right. And I watched it, and I didn't think, oh, well, this doesn't make sense with this movie, you know? I was like, this is great. I mean, they really covered everything, and there's a lot of fun Easter eggs.
Right.
But the main thing, you probably noticed this as well, in A New Hope, you know, the big weakness in the Death Star is the exhaust. They have to shoot the proton torpedoes. But so, you know, why would this Death Star have this big flaw? And now we have learned that Jyn's father, by design, had made this flaw and, you know, got it out to the Rebel Alliance. I thought that was, we learned that from this movie, and it made A New Hope even better.
Right.
Really, really, really.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's the question of, you know, well, why did they have this, you know, exhaust port that you could just blow up, yeah. And, you know, and if it's something by design now that...
That video I sent, yeah. Yeah. What, did you like that character, Galen Erso?
Yeah, I thought he was good. I was looking at the, one of the, you know, the books that have come out for Rogue One with all the costumes and everything, and I was looking at it, I was going, you know what, I don't know, I might have to make that one, you know, because it's, you know, not quite officer, but it's still, like, kind of Imperial, and it's a character, you know, I was like, I might have to make his, like, you know, make that costume.
Oh, really?
I don't know, down the road.
That's awesome, man. Very cool. And I like to ask everyone this. How does this one rank amongst the other Star Wars films? You know, I guess we only have the other seven. But how would this one rank? You know, you don't have to give it a number, but does it hold up?
It's up there. It's up there with the, I think the best of them.
Definitely.
I mean, I like all of them. I mean, you can watch all the prequels and you have your parts that make you cringe and do whatever. But like, I love Star Wars.
More Star Wars.
It's more Star Wars.
It's more information.
I love it. Yeah.
It's more characters. It's awesome. All right.
And there's some fantastic characters, and you know, from the 501st standpoint, you know, and you know, the Rebels standpoint, it's you know, you look at it, you're like, wow, all right, I got like a whole slew more of new characters that you could, you know, potentially, like, you know, build costumes and have fun with, you know.
Definitely. Awesome, man. All right, dude. Well, thank you for a few minutes, Chris. I appreciate you coming on, man. Have a Merry Christmas, and may the Force be with you, sir.
All right, you too. All right. Thank you.
I'm joined by my, as always, lovely wife, Kate Ortiz, frontwoman for the band Vection. Kate, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I can't complain. Also joined by my buddy, music video director. He's a writer, an editor. He works in the business. My good friend, Jeffrey Masella. Jeff, thanks for your time, man. Good to see you.
No problem. May the Force be with you also.
Yes, always. The Force is with me. I'm one with the Force. All right. So let's get things rolling here. What did you guys think of the concept of making kind of a standalone Star Wars film out of the regular saga? What did you guys think? Do we need that? Was there a necessity for that? Did we like it? What do you guys think about that whole concept?
I mean, I don't think it's a matter of necessity. You know, for a lot of fans of anything, having more is really fun. I think that this film, the concept behind it's really cool because it adds to the original films. It's not just some, like, random story on the outside of what's going on with, you know, your regular characters in, you know, the trilogies. So I think it was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd say I agree with Kate. I really appreciated the connection between Rogue One to A New Hope. Was it necessary? I don't think it was a necessary film because they kind of refer back to it in A New Hope and we sort of get the idea, but it is kind of cool to see how it all went down. Action-wise, I thought the film was amazing. As far as, like, do we need them? That's really the thing I have trouble with and I've been battling with in my own mind, because what scares me is, like, a Han Solo. Like a Han Solo prequel film. And it's like, I think part of the thing that makes Han Solo so awesome is that the mystery behind the character.
Well put.
He's a space pirate. We know he does... Can we curse in this?
You can do whatever you want.
Okay. We know he's done some crazy shit, and, you know, we know he's a gambler, and, you know, he goes around the galaxy, and he's suave, and, like, I think that's enough. I feel like if we learn too much about him, then it kind of, like, takes away from the character.
Yeah, that's too... They're doing, like, a young Han Solo movie, but that was called A New Hope. Like, the guy who's playing him in the new young Han Solo movie is, like, what, almost 30? And Harrison Ford was, like, what, 30, 34 in those films? It's a little bit weird, because then it's, like, a completely different actor once you look at, like, the current, like, up-to-date films. I think it's a little... I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. The age thing is a little off. I mean, they're probably going to portray him that he's a lot younger than he actually is.
Yeah, I guess
life.
It's Hollywood, right?
Yeah, so you're always going to be 10 years younger than you actually are. But I really don't think it's the right way to go. I also am very scared of a Boba Fett film.
Is that a thing?
They've been having conversations. I don't know if that fell through or not, but I think a Boba Fett solo film would be one of the worst things you could ever do to that character. Because
he
the cool
a
thing
of mystery. Well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the cool thing about him is that he, you know, he says a couple words. He also is gangster enough to, like, give Darth Vader shit when he puts Han in carbonite. I mean, no one else would do that. And Vader respects him and, you know, doesn't choke him out or do anything. Because he knows it's Boba Fett. And not knowing the reasons why he's such a badass and then, like, the way he acts in Jabba's palace is part of, like, the intrigue of the character, and I feel like if you start showing everything, then it just, like, kind of ruins it, you know?
He doesn't seem like a character who has a ton of layers, either.
Right, yeah,
I, like,
that's
I don't
want
to see, like, a sad Boba Fett. Yeah. Or, like, one, a heartbroken Boba Fett when his girlfriend breaks up with him.
Single tear going down his face.
Star Wars is such a, it's such a huge thing. I think it's safe to say we all love The Force Awakens. In fact, we all saw it together. Which was great. I remember I was just eating popcorn, and you know, Jeff and I, we worked at a movie theater so long that I just stopped eating popcorn. But I was just so into that movie. I was just, like, scarfing down popcorn, drinking soda like a little kid. I was into it. It had me from the very beginning. So Star Wars is such a huge thing now. Of course, there's going to be more, I don't want to say spin-offs, but, like, prequels and standalone films. But I did like that they made this just to kind of show a little bit more about how A New Hope came along with the Death Star plans. And we get a little bit more of some characters we know already, like Vader, for instance. We'll talk about that in a little bit. So I did like the information it provided. And yeah, you know, I enjoyed the film. I didn't think it was, you know, on the level of The Force Awakens, which I really enjoyed. But what did you guys think about some of the characters, and the character development as well? And then let's talk about some of your favorite characters and some of the characters you guys didn't like so much. Take it away, Cable. Who are your favorites?
My favorites, K2SO. No, he was a really funny, like, a kind of different kind of droid. You know what I mean? Like, C-3PO has his moments, but, like, this guy was just a straight-up jerk, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So I liked him a lot. You know, the thing about the characters in Rogue One is, like, none of them had, like, a ton of development. And, like, with the way the story is written, you don't get, like, super attached to any of them. Which I think may have been on purpose because of spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah. But I should say at this beginning, lots of spoilers in this podcast. If you haven't seen the movie, do not listen anymore.
Yeah, have we... Yeah. Was there any so far?
I don't know. Maybe put that in the beginning.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description. Yeah,
you never want to be that guy or girl, you know? Like.
But anyway, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe it was intentional that you don't get super, super emotionally attached to the characters because they ultimately all die.
What?
Yeah, there it is, the big secret.
See, and I kind of feel, well, I didn't like any of the characters except for Galen and K2SO. I felt like they were all one-dimensional, which was okay because they all did die.
Yeah, maybe it was on purpose. I don't know.
Maybe it was on purpose, but I feel like the payoff is to feel emotions. So I kind of wish that I did like them a lot more because I felt like if I was upset and sad at the ends, I would look back on the movie and be like, man, that movie was so awesome. Like, it made me feel this way, you know? Whereas, like, I was sort of like, whatever.
And Star Wars is so notorious for having these lovable or even characters that you hate, just like these characters that you remember forever, even from the new one, The Force Awakens, you know, a bunch of new characters. One was a stormtrooper, now he's a good guy, a new droid, and people love him, you know? Kylo Ren, the new Darth Vader, if you will. People love them, you know? And so this wasn't a film where the characters stood out as much as the plot did.
Correct, yeah. I mean, outside of K2SO, who I think is probably the... No disrespect to R2, because he's probably the best one, but outside of R2, yeah, I think that K2SO is probably the best droid we've had in the Star Wars universe, because He was a wise ass.
I was going to say sarcastic.
Yeah, he was sarcastic. And I love the scene where Jin hands her stuff to him and he just like looks at her and just like drops it on the ground. He's like, yeah, I'm not carrying your crap. Like,
yeah, dude, that's Kate.
I think that, I thought that was amazing. It was just nice to have that sort of dynamic being in this movie. So that's why I love that character so much. But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, besides him, I liked, and I super don't know how to say his name, the blind guy.
Shurit.
Whatever his name is. He was a really cool character. I liked him. Because he was just like really quirky and like he handled his business. A
little bit of humor.
Yeah. He was kind of funny. I liked him a lot. I did like Jin. I felt like her character started to develop, but then the movie kind of just moved on. Like when she runs out to save the little girl, you know, at the expense of her own life. Mm-hmm. You know, and she definitely had, like, a lot of, like, bravery moments, which was cool, but you didn't really get to know the characters like you did in, like, The Force Awakens.
Right. Same thing with Captain Cassian, you know, he was very order and task-driven. He had said, oh, you know, we've all done some things we regret and made some tough calls, but we didn't really know anything that he did, you know, it was hard to get too attached to that character.
Yeah, and he did murder that guy in the beginning.
Right, when he met up with him at the beginning, right?
Right, he wasn't even super likable either. And I was a little confused towards the end of the movie. Was there supposed to be, and this is a problem I've always had with movies, but was there supposed to be a romance between him and her?
I think it was just like...
It was like they alluded to it, and then it just didn't exist.
I don't know if it was supposed to be a romance. More like, okay, we understand each other. We're in this together. We're here to die together. Like, more of a partnership.
I was glad there wasn't a kiss, because it seemed like it was going way, and I was like, no, because, you know, we haven't fully developed a lot of these characters. We definitely have not developed any sort of chemistry between these two characters, besides working together and having, you know, gone through mutual things. So I guess maybe it was more like, okay, we're doomed, but we accomplished something, I guess.
Yeah, we did it. We did our mission.
You know, maybe it was more of a gesture with the hand-holding.
Well, I mean, I feel like if I'm about to die, maybe I hold the hand of the person next to me who I've been at war with.
That's okay. It would have been funny if he actually went in for a kiss and she just pushed his face away. as the Death Star was destroying everything.
That'd be like the most epic turn down.
Maybe we'll see that in How It Should Have Ended.
Yeah, exactly. That would be hysterical.
Someone else I liked, I want to say Baze, I believe I'm saying that correctly. He had like that, just because of his awesome gun, like he was just taking out the stormtroopers. That was kind of cool. Something different. Instead of the regular blasters, more that like...
That Gatling gun?
Yeah. That was very cool.
It was pretty badass.
I did like that. That was interesting. You know, there were interesting things about these characters, but again, maybe by design, we didn't get attached to them because we were concentrating more on the plot. Like this was a more plot-driven film attaching to A New Hope.
That's true. You know, I was actually saying when I saw the movie that it was nice to see weapons in the movies that we've seen in the video games and the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yes.
Because his Gatling gun is similar to the one that the Clone Wars soldiers use. Stormtroopers.
The continuity in this film was great. There were a lot of things apparently, I guess from the cartoons, was it Rebels and Clone Wars, some of the literature, the Star Wars literature, a lot of things. I always like to watch the little Easter egg videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
To see I did notice some things, like when she bumped into that guy in the market, it was the dude that Luke had bumped into in the cantina. He said, "Watch where you're going." And that's the guy who Obi-Wan chopped his arm off or whatever.
So that dude's just been pissed off for years.
Yeah,
like, he's just angry. Yeah. He doesn't even need to be drunk and at a bar. Yeah. He's just always angry.
And apparently he made it off that that city.
Yeah.
Or out of that city.
Good.
But stuff like that, I love the continuity. And we'll talk more about some of the continuity with the characters and some of the CGI in just a little bit. What did you guys think about the big scene? First of all, seeing Vader again, not prequel Vader. Seeing Vader as we know him, maybe learning a little bit more about him, and then ultimately that scene at the end where he's going down the hallway, just kind of ripping through everybody, the rebel troops. Did we like seeing Vader again? What did you guys think?
Honestly, I thought every scene with Vader were the best scenes in the movie. Even his pun, which a lot of people are complaining about, which I thought was amazing.
Ambition.
Yeah, it was so good. Stupid. Like, come on. I know it was stupid, but I don't know. I loved it. But
I'm okay with it.
I really, it was So I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know if any of you have ever played The Force Unleashed for the video game.
Because you let me borrow it.
Right, okay, yeah. So you're allowed to, you know, no pun intended, unleash the Force in that game. Which is something that we've always kind of wanted to see, I think, any Star Wars fan. And it was just nice to see Vader be vicious and just kick the crap out of people. And he got to do that. And we always wanted to see a young Vader also, or at least a younger Vader. He's not that much younger, but...
Right, I know what you mean.
You know, he's not so robotic. He was, like, doing stuff, and, you know, he... Would he kill, like, 20 or 30 soldiers in, like, a matter of, like, 30 seconds? Like,
I like the way he held the, I was telling people how he held the lightsaber in the old Star Wars movies they were kind of had, you know, when him and Obi-Wan were fighting, the fight was very slow, you know, they're kind of, this way, and then this way, and then you watch the prequels, and they're doing all these ninja moves and backflips, so... When Vader came down the hall, he took out his lightsaber. He was kind of doing the holding it the same way. I think it was one hand, and he was just boom, 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 boom. So it was kind of a mixture of the two. Like, he was going real fast, but he was kind of swinging it and holding it the way he swung it in A New Hope. So I thought, I'm like, I'm okay with that. That's pretty cool that they made it, like, it wasn't slow, but everything, just the way he held it and stuff like that. I feel like this movie really did their research with a lot of stuff. But yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, and also... very interesting that they had his, I guess, his home base or whatever you want to call it on Mustafar, which I got the name. I think it is Mustafar. The lava planet, which is where he ceased to be Anakin and, you know, became Vader. So I thought that was kind of cool that they threw that in there also.
You get a little bit more on a little more character development on Vader, who we've known for years, who's usually number one on top 100 villains lists. You know, he's usually the guy, so we get a little more action from Vader, and we get a little bit more history on Vader.
Yeah, I mean, the first scene he was in was fine. You know, it was really, really cool when they revealed him and stuff like that, but my favorite scene with Vader was the ending, where he just comes in, and it's the first time, like, you see a lightsaber in the entire movie, and he just destroys everybody. That was awesome. That was a cool scene. You know, you want to see Vader just, like, being a monster that he is, because otherwise he was just, you know, choke the one guy. He was like, get it done.
It's true.
He was kind of just like a manager before.
Yeah, just a badass manager. Yeah, no, it was, I think it was needed, because I actually said in the movie when I was watching it to the person I was with that, you know, this might be the first Star Wars movie I've ever seen where you don't get to see a lightsaber.
It just felt wrong.
And then, like, literally a minute later, you just hear the breathing and the darkness and then you see the lightsaber light up, and I was like, yes! I was so excited.
Also, well, it just made me think of it because you were saying we hadn't seen the lightsaber until a certain point. What did you guys think of the lack of the scroll at the beginning? How did you guys feel about that? It had the long, long time ago in a galaxy far away. What did you guys think of the lack of the... And obviously no John Williams on the music, which I had actually noticed when the first trailer came out.
Well, okay, so I'm going to address the John Williams first. It totally threw me off. Like, just not hearing the songs you expect to hear, with the exception of a Darth Vader. You know, I think they played Vader's music. It was really weird. And, like, it almost didn't feel like a Star Wars movie in that way. Like, the John Williams music is really important to just the whole series.
Right.
For me, anyway, as a musician and a songwriter. And, like, not starting the movie with the main theme and the big Star Wars on the screen was a little weird.
Right.
Yeah, I think I could agree with that. John Williams' music especially. I mean, the scroll, maybe you can go without the scroll, but I feel like John Williams' music is necessary. It's really the only thing that made the prequels watchable for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was because I thought that the prequel soundtrack was so damn good. Like, episode 1, 2, and 3 were all fantastic. And
dun, 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 dun,
dun. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where I was thinking about it, and if they just keep releasing Star Wars movies, if you put the scroll in every movie, it's going to kind of, like, lose its luster.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So maybe it's a good idea to not use it, but John Williams I certainly miss.
Yes.
Like, he's a necessary part.
And his music's pretty much in every Star Wars video game as well, and it really does kind of set the, you know, you're playing these levels in these video games, and it really does set the, like, the intensity, you know, the music for the levels are perfect, you know, so, you know, the first thing I noticed when the trailer came out, I don't know, a couple years ago or a year and a half ago, I was like, is this John Williams' music? Did he do the music for this one? And obviously this is the main saga that we know. So, like you were saying, I'm kind of okay with the lack of scroll. I noticed it as soon as the movie started. But in my mind, I'm like, this isn't the main series. This is kind of a spinoff. And like you said, they're going to do a bunch more, so not everything can have the scroll. Maybe all the main ones, all the main episodes should have the scroll. And this, you know, this movie for me kind of provided a little bit more on Vader, but provided a lot of information leading up to A New Hope. And that's what I got. Wanted to talk to you guys about. What'd you guys think about a lot of the callbacks to the other movies, fixing plot holes? There was a big plot hole in A New Hope that this movie kind of took care of. And then bringing back characters with the CGI like Grand Moff Tarkin, which kind of wowed me. Because he was, I remember, they showed the back of his head, they had his voice, and I'm like, oh, cool, that's Grand Moff Tarkin. I'm like, he's not going to turn around. You know, they had a little bit of his face in the reflection. And he was in like three more scenes after that. And I'm like, very impressive. Like, you know, I mean, you could tell it was a little bit CGI, but I mean, very impressive. Kind of like how they did Robert Downey Jr. in Civil War, where he was very young.
Which was fantastic. I mean, it looked just like him. It looked just like Robert Downey from Weird Science. I was like,
right. Yeah.
What is this?
Unbelievable. But the fact that they brought him back to life, fantastic. I mean, just amazing. But what did you guys think about, like, the callbacks to the other movies or plot holes fixed? Or even them bringing back, like, those X-Wing pilots from A New Hope, Red Leader and Gold Leader? Because I saw them on screen. I was like, no way. That's the dude. I'm like, how did they do this? It's crazy. It's crazy. I like those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, that actually was my favorite part. Was because so years ago I was obsessed with Rogue Squadron and Red Leader and Gold Leader. So
Rogue Squadron.
The fact that they threw those characters in there and it was original footage, so
which I found out afterwards because I was like, how did they do it? Right,
Footage. They were at the Skywalker Ranch and basically this is all cans for the original Star Wars movies and apparently you know they were like, what's in there? And they said, oh, it's you know A New Hope, and they were like, well. Like, what's going on with it? They're like, well, we haven't digitized it yet. But they ended up looking through the footage and they found that Red Leader and Gold Leader footage from that was never put in the original movie. So that's why they used it for the film. And I thought that was an amazing throwback. I mean, to actually use footage digitally enhanced for this movie, I thought it was clever. I thought I was seeing things when I was watching the movie. I was just like, what is going on here? Plus, it was an amazing battle. So, but yeah, back to your point, I thought it was great that they threw that in there.
What did you think about seeing those other characters?
What? They blew my mind. It was like magic. I mean, seeing young Princess Leia.
I was just going to ask, yeah.
Oh my god, that was so cool. And like, yeah. She had one line, it was perfect. You know, they didn't overdo it. They're bringing the plans to Princess Leia, there she is. Like, it was nuts. Like, I don't know a lot about CGI and movies and stuff like that, but that blew me away.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what's funny is, I don't know if your audience did, but the audience I was watching the movie with, they gasped when Leia was on the screen, because I think everyone was thinking, because the way they started off the shot was, like, we knew who it was,
yeah, yeah.
Right. But they showed her back, and they're like, they're not going to show her face. Exactly. And they showed her face, and everyone was like, huh?
Yeah.
They really went there?
And then she goes, Hope, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. And Grand Moff Tarkin was amazing. Yeah. He didn't look like CGI at all.
This is a person who's not even alive.
Right.
And they, like, he's in a movie.
It's getting scary.
Acting from the grave.
We will talk about that end scene. You know, I kind of saw where they were going with it. We'll talk about that next. Real quick, what did you guys think about them sneaking R2 and 3PO in? Just, I said 3PO, real weird.
3PO.
3PO. What did you guys think about them sneaking them in so I guess they could be in essentially every Star Wars film?
I loved it. I thought it was great. You know, they just made a snarky comment and then went on with things. And it makes sense that they were there, you know. They're part of this.
Right.
It's not like they're just sitting back until A New Hope starts.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. It was nice to see them and they weren't, like, completely disregarded because they're, you know, it's not really their movie.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I love R2. I love what a brat he is. He's probably my favorite robot in the history of movies. But that scene actually made me laugh out loud in the theater because I felt like I was on, like, Star Tours and it was, like, the beginning video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, you're about to, like, get in the ship and take off and they're just there.
Yeah.
It was cool, though. It made me smile, and that's what's important.
I love R2, too, and the X-Wings and Rogue Squadron and all that stuff. I actually just got a USB charger for the car, and it's R2-D2. Awesome. And he moves, and it's got two USB ports, too.
Perfect.
But it's really cool. But yeah, I mean, we definitely all sounded very excited talking about these characters that we saw.
Yeah, how do you not, you know, you love those characters. You want to see them.
Definitely.
Yeah, they're endearing to all of us, you know. Yeah. It's just like, just thinking about those characters makes people smile, and I think that's what's important about, you know.
I mean, when
that's
I was
what it's all about.
When yeah. I was a kid, like, watching this, my dad made me watch the Star Wars movies, yeah. and, like, all the human characters, I was like, whatever, this is kind of slow, I'm a little kid, but I love the droids, you know, R2 and C-3PO were awesome. And, of course, Chewbacca, too.
Chewie, yeah. My favorite.
Yeah,
those are
man.
The favorites when you're, like, a little kid.
I'm just gonna say this, watch The Force Awakens again, and pay attention to everything Chewbacca does, because he is the man in that movie.
Well, that's always, I love when he gets the Wookiee rage. Oh, that's the best part of the movie. And he just starts firing off on people.
Uh-huh.
He's like, that's it, I'm blowing everything up.
He eats stormtroopers for breakfast.
Yeah, he's such a beast.
And he hits Kylo Ren with a laser.
Yeah.
Which no one could do at the beginning.
Exactly.
Chewbacca.
Which, that crossbow gun that he has...
Bowcaster, yep.
Yeah, well, we saw when Han shot the stormtrooper.
Yeah,
right?
He was like, whoa.
It went flying, like, 20 feet back. He hits Kylo, and he just, like, hunches over, and I'm like, that just shows you how strong the Force is.
Exactly, man. All right, I'm going on a Chewbacca rant here, but...
No, go for it.
I love Chewie, man. He's the best.
Oh, that's right, you have that mask, too.
I do, yeah. I know. I wear it to bed. the major plot hole in A New Hope... I shouldn't say plot hole, but the major factor in New Hope was that exhaust port. Like, oh, why would the Imperials make, like, a major weakness? Which this movie, I think, was partially made to kind of explain that. And I love the concept of that. I love, like, all right, I'm working for the Empire. Fine. But if I don't do it, someone else is going to do it. So we're going to do it my way, where there's going to be a major weakness. And somehow I have to get this to the... Rebel Alliance with this TIE fighter pilot who defects, which we didn't really talk about too much. I did like that character. He seemed very human, and he reacted to things normally. And he seemed like a guy who switched sides and was kind of scared about it, but did what he had to, and again, ultimately met his end like every other character. But basically, it explained why we had that weakness in the Death Star, and how it made it possible for Luke to blow up the Death Star. What did you guys think about that? Was that cool? Was it corny?
No, I think it was smart. It's like, oh, well, I want to make more movies. We have this big issue with the original ones. Let's tell a story about it. I thought it was really cool, you know, because you don't want, like, inconsistencies and plot holes in movies that you love. You know, you want reason. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a clever idea.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's really important to kind of address it, because it's one thing, one less argument for people to tear down Star Wars is always good for me. But
yeah.
I also feel like it added more to Galen's character, because right. I think the important thing about him was the duality of his character, whereas, like, he was a good guy, but he was also a bad guy, and there's, like, an internal struggle there that's going on for his character, which I thought was really important. And for him to do that, I mean, he saved basically the galaxy,
yeah.
right? I mean,
yeah.
if he didn't create that port, like, what would they have done, you know?
Yeah, they'd been screwed.
There couldn't have been, like, an exterior attack on the Death Star. Like, they would have got destroyed.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about him, Galen, kind of seeing his daughter for the first time in a very long time, but pretty much dying at that same point?
I hated and despised that scene. I honestly... I thought that character was really important because of the struggle that he went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought the movie should have started with the flashback of when he was working for the Empire previously.
Okay.
And I think that they should have showed him defect and then get pulled back in. Because I felt like that would have added more to the character.
Absolutely.
And then I felt like he should have escaped with Jin in that scene, and then he should have been the one holding Jin at the very end as the planet as Scarif got destroyed.
I love that.
Because I feel like that would have... The whole thing was about her relationship with her father.
Yeah.
You know?
Her trying to get back to him and find out
right.
what's going on.
I wonder
and
if
for
they
both
talk...
of them to sacrifice at the same time,
yeah.
I thought that would have been such a powerful scene.
It's such
yeah.
a... That's...
Oh, man. That would have been good.
Yeah. Jeff had mentioned this to me. We talked a little bit about the ending. And he had mentioned that. I'm like, that is brilliant. I mean, I wonder if they had talked about that as, you know, when they were writing the story. Because it is about the relationship and maybe them holding hands at the end when the city got destroyed, not the planet, would have been a better ending. That's great. I like that a lot. Let's talk about the very end. Basically, they get the shield down. They get the information on the Death Star plans out to everyone, and then I kind of saw where this was going. Basically, Vader goes onto one of the big Rebel ships, trying to track down these plans that the Rebels have. They're basically playing hot potato with the plans. They're running down the hallway, and I'm thinking, I'm like, this is going to lead into the beginning of A New Hope, where the first thing you see is that ship, I want to say Carillion Cruiser, or something, I forget what it's called.
I think, you have it right.
The Princess, but he's on, like, that big, like, station ship that the Rebels have. I don't know what it's called. I'm like, okay, that's not right. Maybe this isn't going to be him. And I'm thinking the movie's going to end with him busting in that hallway, like at the beginning of A New Hope, and that's going to be the end. So I saw where it was going. I didn't think they were going to get to Princess Leia or anything like that. But so he goes down that hallway. You know, he messes everyone up, we already talked about. The guy's like right down the hall from him and kind of sneaks the little card or information or whatever you want to call it through the door. And then they shoot off on another ship. And Vader's just kind of standing there watching this ship fly away, which apparently he ultimately gets to. But then I see that ship, I'm like, okay, that's Princess Leia's ship, and that's where I thought it was going to end, with him just standing there watching that. But it went so far as to show us Princess Leia. But what did you guys think about that whole scene? I call it like the hot potato with the Death Star information. What did you guys think about that?
I liked it. You know, it added some needed suspense to what was going on. Like, they could have just easily been like, oh, we have it, we're good, or whatever. But Vader coming in and kind of, like, just cutting through everybody and trying to get it. And, like, they're like, this, you know, you're like, you know what's going to happen. But for a minute, you're kind of like, oh, crap. Like, is there going to be more? Is there going to be, like, another layer to this?
I like the way you said that. Yeah, it's like, you know what's going to happen, like, but you're learning more and you're getting like, oh, you know, the suspense is still there.
Yeah. It makes it more fun.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the first moment in that film where I actually felt like a sense of like suspense. Where like the rest of it, I just felt like I was passively like enjoying this like action-packed like war film. That was the first time where I kind of sat up in my seat and was like, oh no. You know, so I thought the end was good. And I still say I thought it would have been really cool if, as the cruiser was taking off of Leia on it, if he was using the Force to try to pull the ship back.
I was thinking that.
And then they used like the light speed and just like jumped and then got away from him.
It's funny you said that, because I was thinking the same thing. Maybe because it was in like Superpower Beatdown or one of those Superpower Beatdowns or something we did. Where he was versus Batman, and Batman was in. I thought I saw somewhere Vader controlled a ship.
Wasn't it a TIE fighter?
I don't know. I don't remember what it was, but I remember seeing him move a ship and being like, "Oh, that's the first time I've seen him do this." So I don't know if he can do that or not. But I did think that. And also, I thought, I mean, you know, we can question everything. It's a movie about flying space cowboys and lightsabers.
And midichlorians.
And midichlorians.
I had to throw it in. I had to throw on midichlorians.
Oh, you ruined everything. We didn't talk about that for a reason. But yeah, like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, how did Vader not get to this guy at the end of the hall? Like, he just ripped through everyone, and the guy sticks the little thing to the key, or through the door, and just ran, but...
Yeah, I was thinking that, too, and then I was like, well, there was so much chaos going around, like, maybe he just didn't notice that was going on.
Yeah, well, maybe he didn't know who had it, you know?
Yeah.
But it was definitely a cool scene. I think a lot of Vader fans absolutely loved it. So, last question for you guys. And you don't have to give me a list or anything, but how does this film rank amongst the other Star Wars films? Again, you don't have to give me a list or anything, but where does it stand? What do you guys think?
I liked it. I wasn't, like, blown away in love with it like I was with The Force Awakens. Like, for me, Force Awakens is my favorite Star Wars movie. I know that if people are like, oh, but the originals. But for me, it is, because I remember watching the old ones when I was a kid, and, you know, they're a little bit slower, a little more... like, old school.
Dated.
But, yeah, dated. Okay. Dated's a good one. Like, you still like all the stuff in it, but, like you said, with the lightsaber fights, they're kind of slow and stuff like that. But, like, The Force Awakens just had everything, like, I would want in a movie. Like, it's paced nicely. You still get all that, like, nice throwback stuff with John Williams doing the music. They did the nice wipes, you know, when they changed scenes, which was cool, like the old ones. And that was definitely my favorite. Rogue One definitely did not have, like, the same, like, effect for me. as watching The Force Awakens, where I left, like, really excited and wanting to play with my lightsaber. But it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was a fun movie. It was cool.
It's like Jeff said. He said at the end scene, he sat up in his seat. I felt like I sat up in my seat, like, when Kylo Ren landed on the planet and Poe's trying to get out of there and BB-8's running away.
Yeah, like, right away.
I mean, that movie got me. I usually don't watch movies over and over again, but I love watching. I know, we're, like, talking about Force Awakens.
Oh, whatever.
But I really enjoyed it. I mean, that one had me, even with the characters and stuff. But like Jeff said, you know, that end scene made him sit up in his seat, you know. This movie, it took a little while to take off. The first 20 minutes went by, and, like, I understood everything that was going on. There wasn't a ton of character development at the beginning. Like, we were just kind of getting information, and, again, this movie was very plot-driven. But I'm like, oh, gosh, I hope this isn't going to be bad. Like, I was a little worried.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. And I really think of this movie as, like, not a filler. I mean, it's more information. This movie's more information. It's kind of like spin-off shows of movies. You watch them on TV, you learn more about the characters, mm-hmm. And I'm really glad they made this movie. I did like a lot of the characters. I wish there was a little bit more character development, but I can understand why there wasn't. But I did enjoy the movie. Where would you guys, like, rank this one amongst the other films?
I would probably rank it 5.
That's fair.
You know, I actually, going into it, thought I was going to like it more than Force Awakens, because I thought it was going to be more gritty and
right. Have,
like, a darker feel like Empire had. Mm-hmm. Not that it wasn't gritty, I just thought it was going to be grittier. I didn't realize that this was going to happen to me, but the absence of the Force in the movie, I think, is something that I genuinely missed.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, yeah, like that, just like that mystical, like, part of the movie.
And no lightsabers.
Yeah.
That was another one. Until the end.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd rank it 5. I'd rank it behind Force Awakens. Empire is still my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It depends on, like, what mood I'm in. It's hard for me to, like...
Right.
Outside of Empire, it's hard for me to rank Return, Star Wars, and Force Awakens.
I was just going to ask, do we rank this among the other movies, or, you know... This is, it's the first, I guess, standalone Star Wars film that's not an episode, if you know what I'm saying.
I would. Yeah. You know, it ties in with episodes 4 through 6.
Yeah, it's like New Hope 1.5. Like, yeah. It's sort of, like, enhanced. The fact that it enhances A New Hope for me makes it an important film, so you should combine it as... You know.
Yeah, totally. It makes me want to watch New Hope again.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I haven't seen those movies in a long time. There's probably a lot of stuff I've forgotten in them.
Right.
I'll probably be more excited to watch them now that I've seen this, and it kind of, like, led into it. So that's really cool, definitely.
I think it was a movie of firsts for me. A lot of things that I've always wanted to see, like X-Wings fighting AT-ATs for the first time, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, seeing Vader go crazy, you know, fighting 30 people. We've never really seen that. Usually he just, like, walks in a room like an, you know, a jerk boss and tells people what to do. Outside of fighting other Jedis. But, I mean, it was... And seeing how, badass the Mon Calamari were, like, in space, they're just like, well, Operation Hammerhead, or whatever they called it. And they just start ramming into Star Destroyers.
Oh, that,
like,
part was awesome.
Yeah.
I forgot about that
I mean,
part.
They're so gangster. That's what I love about the Mon Calamari. They're just, like, the greatest strategists.
We'll just ram our ship into their ship.
Right.
Obviously.
And every... I never really put this together until I saw this movie, but, like, every single Star Wars movie, it seems like they're at the head of, like, the space battles, but yet they're, like, water-based creatures that live under the ocean, which I always found really interesting. Like, where are they building these ships? Like, you know? But I think it's so awesome.
Yeah, one thing I will say, I think that... Rogue One's one of those movies that I'll appreciate more when I watch it a couple more times, because I was so kind of preoccupied by the things that weren't there that it kind of, like, takes you out of it. Like, I was like, oh, no music by John Williams, no lightsabers, you know what I mean? So
right.
I think I was more critical of it than I will be if I watch it once or more, two more times. I think I can appreciate it as, like, its own thing.
And also, every time we watch A New Hope now, we'll watch it differently.
I agree. It's changed the New Hope forever, in my opinion.
Definitely. All right, guys. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Is this one going on the DVD shelf or the Blu-ray shelf, I should say?
I mean, I feel like we have to get it.
We're getting it. Jeff, you gotta pick it up. What do you think?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'll probably get whatever dumb tin that they're going to try and sell me.
Wait, with all of them?
Yeah. You know how it is. When you're a huge fan, you just buy whatever they try to sell you.
I mean, I do want to get it. I want to watch it again. Like, I wish I could have watched it again before we talked about it, because there's so much stuff I've forgotten you know, from last weekend when we saw it. You know, just the ships ramming each other. I totally forgot until you brought it up.
Right, and I think that's part of what happens, is, like, you're so excited, and it's almost like a surreal experience when you're seeing it.
Yeah,
that, like, a week later, you forget, like, half of it.
Yeah, and I'm bad for that with movies. Anyway, like, the parts that stuck out at me were, like, the crazy stuff, like the CGI with Leia and stuff like that.
Blew my mind. Yeah.
But I do want to watch, it makes me want to watch the old, like, the original trilogy again, just, like, watching that. So, they did their job, of course, you know.
All right, well, I was going to say, would you guys want to see a Rogue One 2? But that wouldn't make any sense.
That would be a New Hope.
Yeah, exactly. It would make a little sense in a lot of ways. Also, we'd be missing a lot of characters. But anyway, guys, thanks for a few minutes, or a little more than a few minutes. But thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Have you guys on it again. And happy holidays. May the Force be with you.